I was born to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which has freely chosen from given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And then we turn to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. I'm going to read verses 7 through 14 of Jeremiah 31. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Let your praise is heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. So I will bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping, shall praise and remember. They will lead them beside streams of water, and the river path will be ruined and stumble. Because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. At their climate in distant coastlines, he who scattered Israel will gather them. He will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem him from the hand of those struggling one day. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the battle of the Lord. The blind, the new man in the oil, the land of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden. They will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad. Young men and old as well, and return their mourning into gladness, and give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. And may God bless to us until our understanding, as reading from his holy word. Let me pray with me. Lord of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We really don't spend that much time on the book of the prophet Jeremiah, as the Christian tradition as a whole. I've never had a Bible study on it. In Bible study, I always ask people what book they want to study. I don't think anybody ever suggested Jeremiah. There aren't any classes on it in the seminary. It's just sort of one thing in the general survey of the book of the Old Testament prophets. It's not really on our radar that much. But this particular passage seems to me like a passage that we're really needed to read and think about on this Sunday of the Lord. Because this is the first Sunday of the Lord. This is the Sunday when we sort of think about what beginnings. We think about what resolutions we may have made for the new year. And this particular passage from the book of the prophet Jeremiah is a time where God spoke into the life of the people and taught them about new beginnings. So it's sort of speaking under the circumstances in which we found ourselves on this particular morning. Now this passage was spoken by God through Jeremiah. Those words were spoken into the life of the people of Israel through Jeremiah at a really bad time, at a time of great catastrophe for the people of Israel. This was in fact spoken at a time when the people of Israel, the country of Israel, was being wiped out. Was going to ceasing to exist. Now we might say, well, the country of Israel exists today. But the modern state of Israel is not the same as the ancient state of Israel. The ancient state of Israel, what Jeremiah is talking about here, was in fact wiped out. It ceased to exist for some time. And these words were spoken during the time when the people of Israel had been wiped out and led off
South, the people of the South probably come the closest to knowing what it's like to be Jeremiah
vision in the darkest hour of the life of the people of Israel. Now, this promise God made to Israel is a promise God makes to us as well. God made the promise of restoration to them, and he makes that same promise as well to us. God calls to us through Jeremiah, just as he called the people of Israel through Jeremiah. Yes, we suffer the failures of living in exile sometimes. Yes, we do. And yes, we sometimes wonder if maybe this isn't in part or in part because of our own sins. Maybe that the feeling of exile isn't because we haven't been the people of God that God's called us to be. We know we haven't been the people of God that God's called us to be. Let's face it. Let's be honest with ourselves. God sees us for what we are. See, so often we have not been willing to reach out into the community to carry the good news with us. God knows how often people like us Presbyterians would have to sit in our churches and look out and judge and condemn those who are different than us. God knows what we think about the Catholics being superstitious and sinny. God knows what we think about the Baptists being right-wingers and bigots. God knows how we think about the other Presbyterians who don't want to be women like God intends them to. God knows what we are. God knows that we struggle with some of the same feelings of guilt that the people of Israel had, recognizing that in part the feeling of exile that we suffer is due to our own sins. But this is a word for us as well. This is a promise to us as well. God intends restoration for us. God calls us back to be the people intends for us to be and promises a time of restoration for those who will be faithful and who will serve in his courts. And we have reason for joy that the people of Israel didn't have. Because we have 3,000 years of God's history that they didn't have. We have a history in the scriptures and in the history of the Christian church. We know that the God we serve throughout the time has been making extravagant promises to his people and has continued to keep them. We know that God would restore Israel not just once but twice to the glory that it knew in the past. We know with the benefit of hindsight that the Israel of today is more powerful than the Israel they remembered back in those days. And we know that the God that we serve has promised to come into the world in the form of the Messiah to make all things right, and we've been celebrating it for the last 30 days. We know that the God we serve has a 4,000-year track record of keeping promises. And so when God promises to restore us, to bring restoration into our lives, to bring renewal, and to refurbish the spirit among his people, we know that the reason for hope that is. Because we know we can trust that God. The God who spoke into the life of Israel through Jeremiah. I heard this week about Columba. You remember about Columba? Saint Columba in some traditions. He was an Irish priest and religious philosopher in the 7th century in Ireland, and he got thrown out of the country. He got into a big argument with one of the Irish leaders, and so they threw him out of the country. He was exiled. He was literally exiled from Ireland. And he went over to Scotland, which at that point, my ancestors, was not as civilized as Ireland was. But he went to that place and began to proclaim the Word of God. And the Word of God exploded through him into Scottish culture. And even the people that were over here, the Celts, called themselves the Scots, the Picts, they were called. And when Columba was exiled, when he went to Scotland, when he began to preach there and teach there, the church exploded in that place. And it took root in an incredibly powerful way. It landed there with such power that when the Reformed Church came 1,000 years later, it set roots there, and our Reformed ancestors landed in Scotland, and it took root so powerfully that it grew into the Presbyterian Church, which is where our roots come from. And it all came about because Columba was exiled. It was in his time of exile that God began to work for him most powerfully, and to make him one of the pillars that our faith, yours and mine, is based on today. And it seems to me we're called to be people like that. We're called to recognize that even though we may feel like we're in exile sometimes, God may still use us powerfully to speak in a culture that may not feel entirely like one run by our values, but one I want to know what they know. And the God who led that challenge, the God who spoke to the people of Israel through Jeremiah, that God is here at this moment, speaking to our hearts and minds, and renewing in our hearts and minds at the beginning of this new year, this promise. But if now, serve Him faithfully, if now open our hearts and minds to be led by His Spirit, there will be renewal among us. And He moves us powerfully to proclaim His love of this truth to all those people out there who don't know it now, who are hungry for meaning in a world that offers them cheap entertainment. That's the promise God makes to us when He comes to us this day. Let's pray together. Gracious God, as we stand before the beginning of this new year, we invoke Your presence in our lives. We pray that You pour out Your Spirit on us today and tomorrow and every day of this new year, and that You would empower us by that Spirit to trust that although we might feel like exiles sometimes, You are speaking through us into this culture where we serve You. We pray that You would give us the faithfulness to open our hearts and our minds day by day to receive that Spirit and to be used by You to bring others to